Welcome to Real Medicine, Real Lives. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol, and together we're showing medical expertise in a human way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Real Medicine, Real Lives. We're going to talk about health that actually fits your real life. Today, I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol, the host, and we're joined by Brian Fetzer, who's a coach and wellness advocate. Brian has a ton of experience. He's an owner of the Faith Nutrition and president there, Psy Optimal Sports. He's got 28 years or more of experience, coached at the collegiate level, contributor for ESPN, just great accolades. And he's here with us today to join to help us kind of understand fitness and health a little bit better. Brings decades of experience. And so we're going to get right into it and talk about things of how to improve your health and live a healthy lifestyle. Welcome, Brian. Thanks for joining us today.
It's such a pleasure to be able to sit down and chat. Love it.
So let's kind of get into it. You know, this is obviously a very big thing, right? Fitness and health and, you know, people always trying to lose weight, be in shape. It's probably the number one thing most people try to focus on. And, you know, it's always hard, right? And with your lifestyle, et cetera. So the hardest thing is people always are like, I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to do this between work, children, other responsibilities, et cetera. So why don't we start out by maybe you can highlight some, you know, things for people. What are just simple things that everybody can do, examples of stuff, even on their busiest days that may just allow some fitness to get into play?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, that's typically one of the biggest excuses for somebody is that they say they don't have time. Well, you can make daily activities become fitness activities. You know, one of the things that my wife did, she was working at home a lot. And she got a desk that she could raise to stand. So you could actually stand, you're engaging your core a little bit more. You're able to have kind of passive, I'll call it, exercise. Go out and walk. I mean, people that are on their phone a lot, grab your cell phone, go for a walk, talk as you're walking, as opposed to be sitting at a desk or sitting somewhere to do that. That's usually the easiest. Those are two simple ways to do things to kind of make it a little bit more applicable.
Great. How do you feel about those, you know, they have these advertisements for these treadmills, these little treadmills that people can put on their desk and they just walk on it while they're, you know, while they're talking or doing work or they're watching their show or whatever else?
The sitting ones, I would be honest, I'm not a huge fan of because it doesn't really do a whole lot in my opinion. But, you know, ones that they stand, I know several people that have the walking desks per se. And those are great. It's a great way to kind of get activity in during your normal day, your normal routine.
Great. And then, you know, I mean, if somebody's looking to build a healthy routine that, you know, makes you actually stick to it, I mean, what is some advice you may give them on how to maybe start that routine, implement it, stick to it, you know, not deviate from their goals?
Yeah. One of the things you get to find individual aspects that you enjoy doing. Prime example, my wife is a prime example of it. She'll probably kill me for bringing her up in it. But, you know, I like to go to the gym and work out. That's my kind of release. It's a stress release to go there and lift weights. Been doing it my entire life. She doesn't like to do that. She likes to be in classes. So go to a fitness class where you have other individuals of kind of a like mind or like goals that are trying to get things done. Then there's tons of them out there. There's, you know, anything from stuff that's out, you know, outside to inside a fitness facility, but get a community around you that's going to be able to support you and do something that you actually enjoy doing. Shoot, it might be going play basketball, or if you're a golfer, instead of riding in a cart, walk. I mean, those are some basic, simple ways to kind of get into things and to get it so it's more specific to what you want to do.
So it's interesting that you mentioned walking a lot because, you know, I think that's actually an excellent exercise that people underestimate. There was actually a period of time about back in 2018 where I decided to one day just grab my dog and go for a walk. And it started this spark where I walked almost every day for 270 days straight where I didn't miss a day. I would just get up, go walking and come home. And it depended on how many miles I would walk. And I think people underestimate the value of that because they don't think it's true exercise because you're just walking. Maybe you can enlighten people why walking is actually a really good exercise and it's an easy one to do and simple.
Sure. Well, the biggest thing is the low impact that it has on your body. You know, some people can't go out and run because of, you know, they have knee conditions or low back conditions, or they might not have an area to go run that's quite as optimal as what they might need. So just going for a walk is something simple that you can do. Like I said, you can be on your phone, get on your phone with it. But I would advise, go out and look around. Most of us live in areas that there's sights to see. You know, it has to be right in your backyard. It can be, you know, go to a mall, walk around a mall. There's a lot of the mall walking groups that are still out there. Or go walk in a wooded area, some kind of a nature area, to be able to see and get some vitamin D, some great nutrition from the sun. Vitamin D has been proven to be something that a lot of individuals are deficient in, and they could use it by simply just going out and walking and getting some vitamin D in you.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. And I think walking has actually been, it's a very relaxing exercise even, you know. I mean, I've noticed days when I've gone on a walk where it just kind of, after a stressful day, it's just an easy way to kind of have a stress relief and so forth. So I agree. It's a great exercise.
I mean, I did it personally. You know, I found during when we were in the craziness of COVID, you know, getting out and just going for a walk and, you know, just breathing in some fresh air. Your body loves that. And just, you said, a stress reliever. You can, if you walk with a cell phone, talk to somebody maybe, but otherwise listen to some music. Do something that kind of hits your button to reduce that stress levels. Because we all know that stress wreaks havoc on the body.
Sure. And on that same topic, you know, I have patients that come to my office where I ask them, you know, are you doing any exercise? And they'll say, well, I walk at work all day. Do you consider somebody who says I walk at work to be exercise, or how would you define walking as an exercise to patients or people in general, so they can understand, you know, what criteria they should meet when they're walking?
Well, I mean, you want to walk at a pretty brisk pace. You want to get your heart rate up for one. If you're doing it, I mean, there's kind of the stroll that you're maybe going with your significant other, and you're going for a casual walk on a beach or something like that. We get to do that in South Florida a little bit more than maybe some other places, but just getting out there and doing it sometimes for work. Yeah, I would agree. Somebody's at work, they're working and they do a lot of steps per se. I know that's a big item for most people. They're counting their steps, how many steps they're taking during the day. And that's great if it's a goal, you know, that you can set a parameter and say, hey, I want to have 10,000 steps a day. I want to have 20,000 steps. It can make it a little challenging. I know I have some friends that are pretty obsessed with the quote unquote step count. And if they know that they're, you know, 1,000 steps less than what their goal was for the day, they're walking out their door at like 9 o'clock at night and just kind of walking around a parking lot or walking around the block to make sure they get those steps up.
Sure. No, I completely agree. So, you know, I mean, and so what kind of advice would you give to people? You know, obviously exercise is a big deal, and, you know, people can start something. I always tell people, I think the hardest part about exercise, in my opinion, is actually just starting exercising. Right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, I think, what would you tell people who, for example, start an exercise program, life gets in the way, they kind of stop a little bit, so they feel like they're failing over and over again as try to commit to an exercise or to commit to a healthy lifestyle? And so what kind of things would you tell them, you know, regardless of how many failures they have, this is an important thing to continue moving forward?
Well, one, you got to understand some of the physiology. It takes 28 days for adaptations to start to occur in the body. So you start to see progress 28 days and past. Then addition to that, it's statistics say that 90 days it takes to make a habit, that you start getting in a habit and doing things. So you got to be able to do things for a couple months to get it going. But one of the things that you have to do is, one, you can always have variation. You know, whether it's walking one day, going to the gym one day, whether it's swimming one day, playing golf, it could be pickleball has become such a fad now. Doing something that you're active, that you're making yourself sweat, you're doing a little bit more than the normal part. And just being inactive, sitting on the couch, sitting in a chair all the time, take some breaks during the day. If you're at a job that requires you to do a lot of sitting, make sure you stand up, take some calls, do some notes standing up, do some things where you're kind of moving around, just even for a little bit, take minor breaks throughout the day. and to get things going. A good friend of mine named Walt Klein came up with an acronym called AMPS. That's activation, movement, performance, strength. And you kind of want to keep those things inside and do one of those things on a regular basis. You know, activation, moving around. You can do something simple as just some mobility exercises. There's tons of them out there that you can look on YouTube and kind of see from a mobility standpoint. But then also from a standpoint of doing something that there is movement. Your performance piece, that can be varied on what you're trying to accomplish, what kind of goals. You had talked about, wanting to lose weight. You know, that could be your performance goal of losing weight. And, you know, the other one is strength training. It is really important because of the decline as we get older to do some form of strength training to make sure that the muscles and the bones and the joints stay healthy as opposed to just being, you know, in a very sedentary state.
Gotcha. So really the myth that tons of cardio, no weightlifting, tons of weightlifting, no cardio, that's not true, right? It's
no.
Really need a balance between both at some point, correct?
Absolutely. And more so on the strength training side standpoint than it is even the cardio standpoint, you know, because your body's, you know, it's a skeleton, right? You got to make sure that you keep all those pieces, all those muscles in top form to make sure you stay upright, you have good posture. All those kind of things lead into a healthy lifestyle. But variation is really the key.
Perfect. Brian, can you just tell people kind of if they wanted to find you, where would they find you?
Yeah, you can reach out to ironfaithnutrition.com and send us a message if you're looking at for our nutrition store or at PsyOptimal. PsyOptimal.com is our mental health and mental optimization company that we try to provide assessments and provide individuals an opportunity to deal with mental health issues.
Great. All right, everybody. So hang with us. We're going to go to a quick commercial. We kind of highlighted some stuff about exercise. Next, we're going to talk about nutrition, which I think is probably the most important part of living a healthy lifestyle. Brian's going to give us some ideas about what healthy nutrition looks like without obsessing over all the macros and measuring every bite that you eat. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. I'm your host for Real Medicine, Real Lives. Do you love what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of any of the stuff that we promote here on Now Media TV. You can get it live, on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app, Roku or iOS. Get instant access to all the programming. It's bilingual in both English and Spanish. I want to listen on the go. There's a podcast version for the Now Media. We're available online at www.nowmedia.tv. Breaking news is here. Lifestyle changes, culture, everything in between, and business. It's streaming 24/7 wherever you are. We're back for here with Brian Fetzer. We're digging into nutrition now because I think it's a very important part. Most people underestimate the value of nutrition when it comes to healthy lifestyle. And if you ever feel like, you want to eat like a bodybuilder or an athlete, I think this next conversation is going to change that. And welcome back, Brian. Thanks for joining us today and giving us some more enlightenment on this.
Definitely a pleasure.
You know, in my own fitness journey, like I told you before the show, you know, I lost about 80 pounds or so. And I think that the biggest obstacle I ran into was actually nutrition, right? I was working out, but I wasn't really making the progress I was making. And it took me a while to kind of adjust that nutrition aspect to it to make things better. So, there's a lot of myths out there about diet, right? You know, people say, I stopped carbs, I stopped protein, I stopped fats, I did this, which, you know, and there's all these fad diets everywhere, right? You know, and I've tried some of them. I don't think any of them are honestly sustainable. So what are some of the things that you would tell people as a nutrition person, you know, to really unlearn that really doesn't help you in leading a healthy lifestyle from a nutrition standpoint?
Well, I think the word that you just said that is probably the key of everything is what is sustainable? I mean, fads come and go. I mean, you look at some of the quote unquote science that was out there, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, the food pyramid is a prime example. You know, what we found that the food pyramid is actually not what you should be doing, you know, loading up on carbs and those kind of things, but eating more of a natural kind of lifestyle from an eating standpoint. And the one thing to keep in mind too, is that everybody's body is completely different. You know, how I might digest and how I might respond to something that might be a high protein kind of carnivore diet might be very different from how somebody else might respond to that. You know, but doing something that's sustainable, if you say that, hey, I am only going to eat, you know, I'm going to eat this specific way for the rest of my life, it's probably not really realistic. It's, you know, people have things called work. They have things called travel. They have different, you know, instances that come up in their life. So you've got to make things that are sustainable, and you got to kind of build an eating culture in your life where you're eliminating foods or food sources that are not optimal. I've said it a ton of times. One of the biggest things that most people need to cut out is sugar. We have way too much sugar in our diet. It's a root cause of inflammation, and it's not something that's good that you want to have in there. And we can talk about a bunch of other things that I would say to eliminate as well.
Right. So you would say to people, for example, carbs are important, protein is important, fat is important, and there should be a balance between the three depending on who the person is, on what they need, etc. for that.
Absolutely. And it's what kind of carbs, what kind of meats, what kind of proteins are you using? You know, when you start talking about proteins, you know, fad for a little bit was, you know, get the fake meats and stuff like that. Well, that's fake. It's not real. The nutrients aren't there. The density of having some kind of a red meat or a fish or a poultry, those are real meats. Beans can be real meat, or can be real sources of protein. You know, there's alternatives, but when you chemically produce something, it's not real. It's not what the body's meant to be taken in. So you've got to keep that in mind too. And then also the carbohydrates. If you're getting carbohydrates mainly from sugars and a lot of processed foods, that's not the carbohydrates you need. You know, your root vegetables, your potatoes, your rices, your grains, those are much better alternatives than the processed stuff.
Gotcha.
And fats, so when you start talking about fats, I mean, beef tallow, phenomenal way of fat, ghee, real butter, you know, raw dairy. Those are great sources because they're natural. The least processed that you get with the foods that you're taking, the better it is for you. And it's really, you know, it's going to prevent a lot of long-term issues.
Sure. And so if somebody comes to you and they said, you know, I'm not really training for anything, but I want you to give me some advice on how am I supposed to fuel my body in the right way just to kind of stay healthy? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, I'm a big believer in fasting as well. I think doing some intermediate fasting, letting your body, not just getting our standard, what we're used to clock, that we have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and we snack throughout the day. Do something where you're kind of stretching your body a little bit from a standpoint of, I mean, I'm typically on a four-day week where I do intermediate fasting, where I don't eat until around noon or one. And then, you know, the other couple of days, 2 days, I'll go for, you know, I'll eat every day of the week, or, you know, every meal of the day. And so your body's kind of mixing it up, because if you're just going out there and just, hey, I'm going to have typical American breakfast, you know, the processed cereals for breakfast and whatever it might be, that's not necessarily what you need. You need to have, like I said, a balance, and you need to respond to your body and eat products that are less processed and more natural in state.
Gotcha. And so, you know, if somebody wanted to make just an easy change today, you know, to help their energy, improve their metabolism, improve just their lifestyle in general, you know, what's one simple change people can implement that's not really difficult?
I think the biggest one, like I said a little bit a second ago, is eliminate some of the processed foods. You know, if you have to look on a box to find out what's in it, it's probably not the most ideal thing for you. You know, eating vegetables that are pure, that are in a raw state or a cooked or grilled state, getting your meats, your dairy products, eggs are one of the most underrated sources of nutrients and food out there. They're phenomenal for you. They contain minerals and vitamins and protein that your body needs that are a very natural source. The key to that, though, is making sure that you get, you know, grass-fed or pasture-raised. It's not grass-fed, but pasture-raised eggs, where they're outside of the cages. Those are ideal. And with your meats, getting grass-fed meats.
Gotcha. And, the other thing is, how do you feel about, you know, calorie counting, macros, all that kind of stuff? I mean, people are really into that lately. How does that really play into fitness, weight loss, et cetera?
Well, you should be worried way more about what you're eating than how many calories that it has. And because, I mean, I could get something that's really low in calories, but it's ultra processed with a ton of sugar in it and a ton of fillers in it. Well, that's not doing anything good for my body. I want to find something that has the micronutrients and the nutrients in it that are going to actually help my body continue to improve and to repair some of the stresses and some of the damage that I put through it on a daily basis.
And so what are some tips you can tell people, for example, let's just say, you know, ways of planning better for better nutrition, whether it's grocery shopping, whether it's, you know, protein shakes, whether it's cooking at home or, you know, more water. How do all those play into a better and healthier lifestyle for people?
Well, hydration is a huge part, you know, drinking water and getting some water that's been filtered. And not necessarily just your tap water and not really necessarily your bottled water, but invest in a filtration system for your home is one thing you can do. The other thing is, when you're shopping, you know, go to the places that have perishable goods, you know, items that don't have the 3-year sell by date on it that, you know, you need to eat on a regular basis. So it's really shopping more frequently. We probably go to the store once a week to get what we want for that week, as opposed to, you know, trying to shop for a month or so at a time. The other thing is really with preparation. You mentioned, how do you prepare? I know when it's going to be a hectic week, taking a Sunday as a prep day or a Monday as a prep day, where you're cooking a lot of items and preparing and put them in simple packages so you can get them on the go. So that way you're not relying on necessarily fast food.
Yeah, I think that's a major obstacle for a lot of people working, right? It's really, lunch is really a big, I think it's a big meal that, you know, we tend to just overlook. And I mean, even for myself, you know, as a busy professional, it's hard for me to plan for lunch. And so I try to figure out what I can eat. But yeah, meal prepping is definitely important. I did that for a long time, just kind of on my journey.
Yeah, I mean, I typically have some kind of a shake at lunchtime, where it's, you know, some kind of a protein, you know, shake that also has fruit in it, to kind of supplement those areas for frozen blueberries, frozen berries. Berries are phenomenal, producing antioxidants and the nutrients that you need. So, I mean, having a shake that you can kind of take on the go is a great way to kind of prevent yourself from maybe putting something in your body that you really don't want to.
How do you feel about these meal prep services, such as, you know, I'm sure you've seen them, Factor, MyFitFoods, et cetera, that sell you these pre-made meals with everything labeled on it, et cetera? Do you find those to be helpful for people? Do you think that?
Yeah, if somebody's busy enough that they can get a pre-packaged meal that's been flash frozen that they can prepare, if that's going to help you on your journey, that'd be great. You just got to make sure that you read and figure out what's all in them, how much processing is done, and what kind of real ingredients do they have. And again, the labels, it's probably been the biggest kind of turn of events for me, is, you know, figuring out that, you know, what's in a package, what are the ingredients. I try to stay away from seed oils as much as possible. We try not to put any of those, and get good fats and have less ingredients. And if you can't pronounce what the ingredient is, you probably don't want it.
Gotcha. Brian, again, this is great insight. I mean, I think this is a really important topic for people. Again, can you just remind the viewers, you know, people want to start working with you, how they can find you, how they can contact you, et cetera?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn is one way, or on Instagram at Coach Fetz. There's ways you can DM me. And then you can always go to ironfaithnutrition.com or psyoptimal.com, where you can find either the two companies in it that I'm a part of.
Great. All right, everybody, we're going to take another commercial. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with Brian. We're going to discuss some more topics.
Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. We're on Real Medicine, Real Lives. Do you love what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of the Battle Ready or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows. It's either live, on demand, anytime, or anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on your Roku or iOS device and enjoy instant access or full lineup of bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. You want to listen on the go? Download our podcast. You can download any show on the Now Media app there too. We're available on the online at nowmediatv.com. I'm sorry, nowmedia.tv. We have breaking news, lifestyle changes, culture, everything in between, streaming 24/7 whenever you're ready. We're back here with Brian Fetzer. He's been really interesting today to help us with all our lifestyle and fitness and nutritional changes. So next segment we're going to talk about, Brian, is really we're going to talk about why most health plans fail and what really works for people with real lives, right? I mean, we're not athletes. I mean, I watch people on TV, you know, football, NFL players, basketball players, et cetera. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to work out every day and play a sport. And so they have all the time in the world. I've seen people who are like, I go to the gym for 3 hours. You know what? I don't have 3 hours to be at the gym. You know, I got an hour maybe three times a week to get there, right?
Right.
So, you know, what do most people get wrong about starting a healthcare journey and what leads them to fail?
Well, one of the things is they spend a little bit too much time on this thing, their phone and looking at what social media says they're doing and these influencers and so forth. So they get a kind of a misinformation of sorts, because what you just said with professional athletes, or a lot of athletes that are high caliber, they have somebody writing workouts up for them. They have somebody that's pushing them. They have recovery modalities. They have somebody that maybe is working on their nutrition specifically. They have a whole team behind them. Whereas most people don't have a whole team. You might have you and your spouse, and that's really it, or just some friends. So you've got to kind of come up with a situation that's going to be one that's going to lead to success for you. And you got to really come up with realistic goals. That's probably one of the biggest things. What do you actually want to accomplish? And then kind of plot it out, kind of figure out what are the next steps from there?
Gotcha. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that try these cookie cutter solutions, right, to try to figure all this out, and it fails. And why do you think this cookie cutter solution fails for so many people?
Well, one, they're probably not very committed to it, and it's probably extremely restrictive. Is one, they'll go and take a pill, mm-hmm. think that that's going to do things. I know way back in the day, I had a friend, you know, they wanted to get big, so they were like, you know, I've been taking steroids. I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy. I'm like, well, how's your workouts going? Well, I'm not working out. I'm like, well, why are you taking steroids in? Well, I want to get bigger. I don't have time to work out. I'm like, that's the most nonsense thing. You're taking that, you know, to reduce recovery time so you can put in more work. But people have misnomers and misconceptions on what actually is going to kind of produce results for them. And, you know, hey, you know, people get, you know, they get into CrossFit or they get into something else, and maybe they get injured for whatever it is because they started too fast. Seek advice. You know, there's a lot of people out there that'll give you good advice. If you go to a gym per se and ask the people there, hey, I like to do, you know, dancing. Maybe there's a class that's a fitness class that has a lot of dancing involved, that you can do that and you're passionate about it and you can have fun with those things. Maybe it's doing something, go ruck. The ruck events, my brother's into those, where, you know, you're doing kind of quote unquote like military fitness type training, and but you're in a group of men, you have a community of some support where you can do things together. Those are the big ones that you can really kind of aid your journey with.
Gotcha. And so, you know, you're obviously big into fitness, big into health, big into nutrition. What makes, you know, there's a lot of people out there. And like you said, there's a lot of influencers. I mean, I've seen videos on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you know, everybody's like do 70 bicep curls and do this and do that, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's real or not, but you know, I mean, what makes your approach to nutrition and, you know, performance different than other people?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I kind of did a journey. I played college football, had put on a lot of weight. Then I got into the real world and I was coaching and I wasn't sleeping, which was not good at all. And I wasn't eating right. And I got skinny. And then I went the other way. I started making money and I started eating a lot of fast food and I got bigger, you know, not good bigger. So I've kind of seen that evolution, but over the course of time, I started finding out what works for me and what fits into my schedule. Like I said, eating wise, I tend to eat 1 to 2 meals a day on average. That's really about it. I eat very, very high dense proteins. I eat berries. I don't personally have too much carbs, but that's just because it's not something I really like a whole lot. But it's not to say I don't have them at all. I have them. We go out. I love me some Italian food. I love some pizza, you know, but I do it in moderation. It's not my mainstay of my meals. And then exercise wise, I try to go do something every single day that's some kind of a form of exercise. If it's not walking, it's going to the gym. I don't have to go to the gym and spend 1 or 2 hours there. It's going there doing something that's pretty high intensity for me because I get a little sidetracked if I'm in there too long. But doing something, it's funny. I change things up a lot. My workout routine constantly changes, but I enjoy lifting weights. That's me personally. Some people don't enjoy that. Some people like the class part, but I'll go in there. And even just recently, Eddie Abreu is a former bodybuilder, you know, gave some insight and gave some examples of some different training. So I've completely switched up my training so my body doesn't get used to the normal stresses and it's constantly kind of evolving and pushing through things.
Gotcha. I'm really glad you brought that up because I think it leads into the next question. And, you know, the next question would be is, how can people know if their current plan that they're on is hurting them or helping them and when it's time to pivot and make changes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question because it varies for so many individuals. And what it is really kind of learning your own body and getting in tune with how you feel. There's wearables out there. I have a wearable that I serve as my wedding ring. To my wife's chagrin a little bit, I think, but it kind of shows me my sleep patterns. It shows me, you know, how much activity am I getting during the day? Am I sitting around too much? It's because we're busy. I mean, we're busy lifestyles. You have to have cues. You have to, just like somebody doing a television show is going to give you a prompt. Hey, you only have so many minutes left in a segment. You know, you need some prompts too as an individual. So getting understand that is a great thing. I would go out, get a wearable, get some kind of a device or join a group that can kind of help you through that journey. And really, you know, knowing when to pivot is just changing things up. Don't let things get too stale. Really change up what you're doing before it gets too much.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, I mean, obviously some of the things that, you know, people run into barriers are affordability, right? I mean, not everybody can afford a personal trainer. Not everybody can afford a nutritionist. Not everybody can afford a gym membership. I mean, there's a lot of things that are not there. So, but I think we live in an era in which a lot of that stuff, especially with the internet and online, has now been made a little bit easier and a little bit more affordable because there's a lot of things people can do from home, right? Especially, absolutely, you know, nutrition plans, et cetera. Do you have any recommendations, let's say, people that can't afford to go to a gym and get a personal trainer and, you know, any sort of services that you've interacted with or that you've evaluated that you find are easy and affordable and should help with some sort of fitness, whether nutrition or exercise?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of apps on phones and televisions now that are free that you can do calisthenics, you know, old school. When I was a kid, we'd do them at football practice, you know, jumping jacks and different things that you can do in your house. You can get very affordable bands at, you know, a Five Below or a Walmart or something of that nature, where you can do your own fitness journey in your own living room that you don't need to go outside it. And with the access to that the internet has, there's a lot out there. What I would always do is cross-reference things, is because there's a lot of people that are quote unquote gurus out there that have no idea what they're talking about. So just because it's said on the internet, just have a little caution to that, that it might not be the best way. Get a couple of different opinions, a couple of different thought processes on it.
So would you be of the notion that, and I've heard this before, but I've never practiced it, but your body weight is good enough to use as an exercise tool, right? So absolutely, whether it's push-ups or sit-ups or jumping jacks, or even just squats at home or whatever it may be.
You really need to be able to maneuver your own body and be able to control it and be able to do movements, whether it's doing some kind of a core exercise. The one thing that everybody could start on and could improve, and I would guarantee it would dramatically increase just you as a fitness individual, is work on your core. It's probably the least sexy of all the exercises, you know, bulging core muscles, but getting your core stronger. Google what you know your core is, your abdominal muscles are, and work on strengthening those, because that's going to lead to better posture, and better posture is going to lead to you a lot better human being.
Great. Again, Brian, I really appreciate this. This has really been a great conversation so far, and I know we got more to go. But anybody looking to contact you, you know, tired of broken promises from other people in health programs, et cetera, want somebody who's a tailored solution, please let the audience know. How can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to ironfaithnutrition.com. It is one. We've got an array of supplements that are natural and all made in the United States. And then you can go to psyoptimal.com. We're a mental assessment, mental optimization, mental health company that produces things. And we're up in there. You can get me up on LinkedIn, hit me up on Instagram, at Coach Fetz, and we can go from there.
Assuming you offer virtual things, right? Because you're in Daytona, you said, so obviously, you know, people across the country can contact you and kind of work with you.
We have customers from all over the world, actually.
Okay, great. All right, everybody hang out for a little bit. We're going to take a quick commercial. We'll be back to discuss more with Brian about health and fitness.
Stick with us. We'll be right back with more real stories, real breakthroughs, and real lives transformed. And we're back. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol. Let's dive right back into today's medical conversation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Dr. Yasser Sombol. We're on Real Medicine, Real Lives. If you love what you're watching, don't miss a moment of Battle Ready or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, enjoy instant access, or full lineup of bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. Want to listen on the go? Catch our podcast. Want to watch us online? Nowmedia.tv. From business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We're back here today with Brian Fetzer. He's here to talk to us. Now we're going to start about we've been having these conversations about, you know, nutrition, exercise, everything else. So now we want to maybe dive into a little bit about how you and your family can build a strong, healthy routine that actually starts at home. So, Brian, if we're going to tell people, hey, you know, you can't go to the gym, et cetera, but you have family that loves to exercise. I know me and my son exercise together. You know, what are some things people can do at home just to create a family lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle together?
Well, I mean, it really starts in the kitchen, you know, making sure that as parents, you know, or as spouse, your husband, wife, whatever it might be, you know, that you're eating properly. It really all starts with your nutrition. It's such a vital part. And we've kind of shifted so far away from what we should be putting in our bodies from a nutritional standpoint in the United States, that it's caused so many problems. There's so many problems of inflammation and long-term, you know, illness that really has a lot to do with our food and what we're not eating and not eating properly. So I think the first thing you got to do is you got to make sure that it's a good, well-balanced, you know, nutritious mindset from the meal standpoint, where every family member can do. Get your kids doing, you know, cooking with you. Get your kids preparing your meals with you. That would be a great way to kind of get things together and teach them how to eat properly.
Great. And how about, you know, let's say busy parents, and how do they, what's a good way for them to lead by example for their children, you know, without adding extra stress on them or their kids?
Well, I think one of the things, it's my own personal way to make sure that I eat properly is don't bring it in the house. You know, when you go shopping, you know, I'm way more apt to eat the chips and eat the other kind of items that might not be so good for me if they're in my house. If they're not in my house and I provide, you know, the right food, maybe some nuts or vegetables or fruits that can be snacked on when you have those little cravings, you know, keep those in mind. But, you know, as a parent or is, you know, somebody in your house, whether, like I said, husband, wife, make sure you're putting food in there that's good for you and just not having stuff that's what I will call junk food all the way around.
And how do you, what kind of advice do you give people, you know, for their children? Like, for example, my daughter and my son, they love Takis, right? I don't even understand what Takis are, but I've seen them and they're just a mess. My daughter's convinced that Trader Joe's, for example, has these healthy Takis. She wants me to take her to get those sometimes. And, you know, as a parent, I just say, okay, sometimes, and I let her get them. But yeah. How do you navigate these things with children, especially when they're younger, you know, to say, hey, eat this rather than this, or get them to kind of push them towards a better example of how to pick healthier snacks?
Well, one, hopefully we have some pretty big overall happening within the health community. And hopefully, you know, RFK Jr. can kind of start getting some processes done to regulate what's in our foods, because that's a big problem when you're trying to look at cost as opposed to health. You know, that makes things tough. But one of the things you can do is, like I said, educate them. You know, if it's packaged, it's probably not as good as something that's in its natural state. I don't know too many, too many animals out there that are, you know, looking for the best sugary substance. So for maybe honey, you know, but try to keep things natural. If they want something that's sweet, I mean, some of the sweetest things out there are fruits, you know, mangoes and bananas, if you get them in the right, you know, the right time. You know, start that at a young age, as opposed to just handing somebody, hey, this sugary, you know, junk that they're eating. Give them something that's a little bit more nutritious, going to be able to sustain them a little bit more. Because the sugar, when you eat something that's sugary, that has a very low nutritional standpoint, you're going to be hungry again right away.
All right. No, it makes sense. And so would you, you know, even to me as a parent, you know, would you say never let your kids eat those things, or would you say there has to be a balance? Because obviously we talked about this earlier, once you join these kind of fad diets where you just eat the same, it gets old. And, you know, I tell people all the time, even as my patients, they come to me, let's say after they've had a heart attack or stuff, or they want to eat, and they're like, all I eat is carrots and salad. And I say, that's not sustainable, you know, because you're just going to bounce back even harder than you did before. Right. You were eating that way. So what do you consider moderation in these things?
Well, it's understanding of what is good for you and building it into your system. I can say right now, personally, when I started eliminating sugar from my diet, I stopped really liking sugar. My sweet tooth got to the point where if I ever have, you know, if I'm ever in the good old South and I have some sweet tea, I usually take one sip and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Can you give me maybe like 10% sweet tea and 90% just unsweetened tea? Because your body starts adapting, and when you start eliminating foods from your body or products that you're ingesting from your body that aren't, you know, optimal, your taste buds are going to change. If you ever go through a series of a fast, I would highly encourage somebody that if you've never done a fast, even an intermittent fast before, you should try it. It's a great way to detox your body from a lot of things that build up in it that aren't so good. But getting back to your point with your kids, get them starting to have alternatives. You know, if they want something sweet, you know, give them some kind of a sweet fruit as an alternative, and just say, hey, try this, Tell me what you think. Give me your honest opinion and let them try it. And then kind of cycle through some different fruits that they might, you know, have never tried before. I'm kind of crazy in the fact that I'll eat anything. I mean, I try whatever, you know, what it could be from octopus to, you know, to, you know, deer to elk to whatever. I'll try really anything. Cause I'm kind of inquisitive. There's certain things that I eat that I'm not real fond of, but give them some alternative, let them try, you know, something that might be a little bit different.
So this message is from my kids, Dana Farid. I hope you're watching the show. And if you're watching, I hope you take Brian's advice because you guys drive me crazy with all the things that I keep asking you to do. All right. So Brian, you know, what, maybe, one habit or some things that, you know, people can start together as a family besides cooking. You mentioned meal prepping together as one thing, you know, picking good snacks. What are some other things people can do as a family to kind of feel better together?
Well, find something that you enjoy and go do it together. And it might be one of those situations where from a mom standpoint, maybe one of your kids, maybe you have two kids and one of your kid, you know, really likes to be outside. So maybe go out and play pickleball with them. Maybe it's do some kind of a fun activity where maybe be walking. We talked it earlier, or go swimming or something that they like to do that you can do together. It's going to build a better relationship. It's going to build a better bond. And then maybe the other one, maybe, you know, dad does like to lift weights. Well, maybe your kid can go in there and lift with you. Or maybe it's just doing something that is outside of getting away from sitting down and watching TV. Go out, go for a walk together, go to a park together, go do something that's enjoyable, that has a little bit of less screen time on it and a little bit more of real weather time on it.
Yeah. I mean, even riding a bike. I mean, riding bikes is a simple family activity you can do together. I mean, obviously the distance and so forth because of ages makes a difference, but clearly it's definitely something that people can do together. And it kind of leads us into the next question is why does a healthy home make such a big impact on long-term success?
Well, you're going to stay out of being sick a lot more as one, but the other thing is you're going to build relationships. You're going to enjoy spending quality time with somebody. And then maybe that is, you know, cooking in the kitchen, you're doing it as a family activity. Maybe it's going to work out. Maybe it's going to go for a bike ride or go for a swim, go to the beach, go to, you know, a gym together, go someplace where you're doing family activities together. It could be as simple as just going and strolling around the mall. You know, if it's cold, there's definitely parts of our country that get to be too cold at certain times or are way too hot at certain times. That's a good alternative. Go in there and walk around. You know, might cause your pocketbook a little bit of stress if you have a little bit over ambition siblings or spouse.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, even simple things as just going to a public pool and swimming and playing around in the water, right?
I mean, absolutely. There's a lot of things, and you can get creative. You know, that's kind of one of the things that, you know, is nice about exercise is not, you know, it's not all cookie cutter. It doesn't all one shape doesn't fit, you know, every person, or one situation isn't exactly for what everybody else does. It can be very, very different, and it can be very changeable from where you live. You know, if you live up north, maybe it's a snow activity. If you live, you know, by water, maybe it can be a water activity. But doing stuff together is going to develop those relationships that you really need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is very true. I mean, I try to do a lot of things with my kids as much as we can, you know, to try to stay healthy and active. Brian, you know, your message has really resonated with us. And I think it's not just with athletes, but with families. And, you know, before we close again, one more time, you know, I'd love for you to remind people, you know, how they can contact you. I think they would get a lot of insight from you with your experience, obviously, to lead a healthy lifestyle. So tell us more about Iron Faith Nutrition and Psy Optimal, how they can contact you.
Absolutely. Iron Faith Nutrition is a supplement company, wellness company that we produce supplements for your body that are healthy, that are natural, and that are made in the United States. And then Psy Optimal is a mental assessment and mental optimization and wellness company that works on mental health. And, you know, there's a company, whoops, or a group, I can't even point to it, right? The Real over my shoulder. That's good for mental health as well.
Great. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, Brian really reminded us today that health is built in real life, in the middle of real life. You know, we're all busy. We all have all these things going around. It's not always in perfect conditions, whether you're juggling work, family, personal goals. There's always a step you can take towards a better, healthier lifestyle and balance. Thanks again, Brian, for your time. And thank you for joining us on Real Medicine, Real Lives. I'm Dr. Yasser Sombol, and we'll see you next time.